didn't figure it out from the bulletin, this morning we're going to be looking at the song, Jesus Led Me, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And we're going to be looking at this hymn in the context of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the book of Genesis. So we're going to read two passages this morning real quick. Well, not that quick, but turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Book of Genesis, chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 to 4 together. When you have found it, go ahead and read it with me. Genesis 12, verse 1 to 4. Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Next, skip forward to chapter 48 of Genesis. Chapter 48 of Genesis, we're going to look at two verses there, verses 15 to 16. Genesis 48, 15 to 16, read with me. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be upon them and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. And let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So this journey we're looking at this morning, this journey starts with Abraham, or as he was called at the time, Abram. And he was called by God to do what? We see in chapter 12, God tells him, get out of your country. Right? It's a command. It says, get out of your country. Leave behind everything that you know. Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, and to a land that I will show you. Okay? Implicit in that promise of going to a land that I will show you is Abraham, or Abram, has no idea where he's being called to go. This is important, right? Today, if God has said, Abram, get out from your country, leave your family behind, leave your father's house, everything that you know, the security that you have, and there is this place, and I will show you where it is on the map, and you will go here, it would be a lot easier for Abraham to follow. But God said, go, get up and go, and I'm not going to tell you where you are going, but I will show you as you go. Right? And so Abram hears his promise. And this promise, this command, comes with promises. God said, get out and go. But God said, I am going to do these things for you as you go. If you look at the verse, right, verse 2, he says in chapter 12, verse 2, he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him that curses you. And in your family, all the earth shall be blessed. And so Abram, based on these promises, at the ripe old age of 75, gets up and departs. Right? Think about that. At the age of, at 75, you should be, I don't know if they had retirement back then, they probably didn't have 401ks, but at 75 years of age, you should be getting comfortable and settling down. But God says to Abram, get up and go and leave it all behind. And this is how the journey starts. Okay? Then we fast forward to Genesis chapter 48. Here we see Jacob, who is Abram or Abraham's grandson. And at this point now, God has changed his name to Israel. We see him blessing his descendants. Okay? He, in his blessing of his descendants, he speaks of God. In Genesis 48, verse 15, he speaks of God who has fed me all my life long to this day. So he acknowledges, I am here today and I have survived because God has taken care of me. He has fed me. Now this family of Jacob, there were a total of 70 people in all at this time when they finally all came to Egypt. And when you think about it, 70 people, it's a lot of people, but I wouldn't quite call it a nation yet. Right? It's a large group, but not quite a nation. But Jacob at least can see that God has led him all the way and fed him all the way and taken care of him. And so right there in these two passages, we see the beginning and end, not quite the end, but wrapping up the story of these four generations, right? Starting out with one man, leaving everything that he knew and going into the unknown, and then coming now to a clan of 70 people, strangers who are living in a strange land. And this then brings us to the song that we're going to study, the first song. The song, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, the first verse. Okay, we're going to go through this line by line. So you can turn in your bulletins and look at the song with me. The first line says, All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Okay. As long as God is leading me all the way, what else is there that I would have to ask for? Right? If I really believe what the scripture tells me, that God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and His ways are higher than my ways. And if I trust this is who God is, and that this God is the God who's leading me, then what is it that I need to worry about? Right? But many times when we look at the song, when we sing the song, at least for this line, when we come from it in a kind of a self-serving point of view, right? If my Savior is leading me, what have I to ask beside? Is there anything that I would lack in terms of what I want, what I need? Or to put it another way, if my Savior Jesus is leading me all the way, what does it benefit me? Right? What am I going to get out of it? How am I going to be blessed? How am I going to be made rich, perhaps? How am I going to be comfortable? But that's not how we need to look at it. We need to look at it in terms of a God who's leading and watching our every step. Now, second line of the song, or third and fourth line. Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Okay. Now, in life, I think you have all had different kinds of guides. You probably have had good teachers and bad teachers. I believe your parents are all good, right? But sometimes your parents are harsh. There is a kind of guide that is strong and harsh. Slave drivers are guides of sorts. They tell you what to do, but they beat you. They whip you, right? Just think of a horse rider with his crop and his spurs. He's not kind to the horse. These are not kind guides. But the song tells us God is the kind of guide who guides with tender mercy. Right? And many times as we look at the rules that God has put around us, we think of it as restrictions, but it is His hand of mercy protecting us from harm and protecting us from wrong, protecting us from hurting ourselves. And so this song speaks of the kind of guide that God is. He is a God who guides with tender mercy. Next line. Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. Okay? What is heavenly peace? There's a distinction, right? It's not talking about earthly peace. It's talking about heavenly peace. How is this different from earthly peace? Okay? Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And He makes a distinction. He says, this is the peace that I give to you. It's not as the world gives. Jesus says, the peace I give to you is not what the world can give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Right? The peace that Jesus gives us is a peace that comes to us by faith. It is a peace that comes as Abram received peace without seeing the end. You have a promise. You have a God who leads with tender mercy. He says, come with me. And He doesn't always show you what the end game is. But you have a peace in having faith in Him, knowing that He does all things well. And so you put your trust in Him, and so as you take each step into the unknown, you can have peace. Right? Worldly peace, you want to see guaranteed results. A few days ago, someone was asking me for investment tips. If you want to do well in your stock portfolio, come and ask me for investment tips and do the exact opposite. Historically, I have always bought high and sold low. So, stock tips, I have them all. I just do the opposite. But, you know, when you look at stocks, when you talk to financial advisors, you want some kind of guarantee. Show me historically that your investments have performed well and done well. And then I will put my trust in you or my money in your account, right? We all want to see some kind of guarantee that things will go well before we believe in it. But God says, believe in me without knowing what might happen. But you know that I will do things well. Now comes the last line of the first verse. For I know, right? This is me saying this, and you hopefully are saying this as you sin. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Notice here, this verse doesn't say, Jesus doeth all things well, for I know that only good things befall me. Right? It is so important as we go through life to understand whatever befalls me, good and bad. Right? Many people will take a distorted view of who God is and what He does in our life. And we would say, you know what? It's because we are sinners and we don't have God's perspective that we are not able to see everything as good. Because from God's eyes, everything is good. No, there are bad things that happen to us. How many of you here can raise your hand and say, there's never been a bad thing that happened to me in my life? Good, you're all honest. There are bad things that happen to us, and some of them are indeed very, very, very bad. Right? But we can't, people will take Romans 8:28 and says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And they will take that and twist it to be everything that happens to a Christian should be good. And so if something bad happens to you, then you didn't love God enough. Then you haven't had a good relationship. It's like, no, stop that, stop that. You're laying some kind of guilt trip on people. You're going to wreck their relationship with the Lord. Right? Things happen, good and bad. But our faith is, whatever befall me, good and bad, I know and I trust that Jesus does all things well. Right? Look at Abraham's journey. Right? He starts, gets up, leaves his country. God says, go, and he goes. Right? And along his way, his journey was not smooth. He comes to Egypt. And if you know the story, I love the story. He's got his wife Sarah, Abram and Sarah. He comes to Egypt, and the Pharaoh's men take notice of Abram's wife because he told them, this is my sister. He was afraid that if he said, this is my wife, the men of Egypt, because they want his wife, that they would kill him. And so he lies and he says, this is my sister. He runs into trouble. Sarai gets taken by the Pharaoh. But God stepped in and protected him. But here, Abram's facing trouble already. Okay? When he and Lot came to a place where they needed to part ways, right? They look at all the land, and Abram says, Lot, you choose first. Right? And if you look at the Bible's account, Lot chose a land that looked green and bountiful and beautiful, and the land that was left for Abram didn't look like a whole lot. Right? And so at that point, you could very well say, you know what? Abram got the short end of the stick. And then comes one of his biggest trials in his life, God promising Abram that he would have descendants like the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. And Abram says, I have no kids. I am 99 years old and my wife is 90. What kind of promise is that, God? Right? Abram has struggles. Then Isaac, his son. Okay, in these four, in these generations, I would say Isaac's life was actually the easiest. He was taken by his dad up to a mountain and he was almost killed. So that's a bummer, right? But outside of that, if you look at his life was actually pretty good, pretty smooth. Because he was a son of blessing. He was the type for Jesus. Okay, so we're gonna skip him. Jacob. I love this guy because in him, I look at him and I think if he can have a good with God, then I can have a good with God. Right? He had issues with his uncle. Right? He worked for his uncle for the promise of a wife, and then his uncle tricked him, and he had all this conflict. And then the whole issue with his birthright, taking that birthright from his older brother Esau. And now he's got an older brother who is huge and hairy, a beast of a man, wanting to kill him. Right? His life was tough. His life didn't go well. He can't say only good things went well because I love God. Right? Then you come to Joseph. I think many of you know the story of Joseph. He was beloved by his father, and so his brothers hated him, despised him, tried to kill him, had a flash of conscience, didn't kill him, and instead sold him into slavery, as if that's a whole lot better, and in slavery, as he served in Potiphar's house, The wife of Potiphar tries to seduce him. He runs away, so Potiphar's first wife accuses him, and he gets, you know, his life was tough. He gets thrown in jail. He helps some people out, and he says, when you go before the Pharaoh, remember me. And these people forgot him. Actually, only one of them made it out. And he was forgotten for another 2 years. This was a tough life. Bad things happen to us. Bad things happen to these guys in the Bible too. Right? Life is full of whatever you want to call it. Whether you call it challenges, trials, hiccups, bumps in the road, disasters, whatever you want to call it, life is full of these things. But it doesn't mean that God is not with you. It doesn't mean that God forgot you. Now, this brings us very timely to the second verse of the psalm. Second verse of the psalm, all the way my Savior leads me. And what does he do? He cheers each winding path I tread. What is a winding path? It is a road that is not straight and easy. It goes every which way. You don't know where it's going. And it can be a tough road. Right? Like we just looked at this journey of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And it doesn't end there. Right? At the time of Joseph, there were 70 people in this clan, and then they end up in Israel, and eventually, over 400 years of slavery, this clan of 70 grows and becomes the nation of Israel, as we would know it. But think about that, 400 years. Right? We read the Bible, we read the number 400, 400 is so easy to think about. The United States. The United States of America is turning 241 this year. And that's a long stretch of time. Right? It's hard to imagine 400 years of slavery as a people. Right? Talk about things not going well. Talk about a winding road. Now, they eventually come out of Egypt, right? And they wander in the wilderness. And you know what? Moses, when he was called to bring the people out of Egypt, he questions God. He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? God gives him one of my favorite, absolutely favorite answers in the Bible. So Moses, here he is. He's doubting himself. He says, I don't know. Why are you calling me God? I stutter. I can't speak well. Why are you calling me to lead these people? And God's answer is, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. This is going to be how you know that I sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on his mountain. So you will know that I sent you when you are done. Right? So when you're starting, when I'm sending you, this is a sign I'll give you. You'll know I sent you once you're done. It's like, what kind of project is this? Convince me. No, when you are done, then you will look back and you will know that I sent you. Right? This is the way God works. He sends you and he says, go. And he doesn't always tell you where you are going to go and what things will look like. But we need to put our faith and trust in him. Okay, so again, you see Moses stepping out without knowing the how or the where. Well, he did know where. God says you'll be back on this mountain to worship, right? Now, years of ups and downs from the people of Israel. Talk about a winding path that they tread. Right? But look at all of this that happened. Everything that we just looked at, right? The 400 some odd years. I don't know exactly how many. I would say maybe close to 500 if you include the previous four generations. All of this was foretold to Abraham. In the vision, God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 15. You can turn to later if you want. But Genesis 15, God says, know certainly, Abraham, that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs and will serve them. So seeing that they will go to Egypt. And they will afflict them for 400 years. Before it all happened, God told Abraham exactly how long they were going to be in slavery. And also, the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, or in four centuries, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Right? God gave Abraham this promise. He said, and look, this promise was given to Abraham before he had any children. He was not single. He was married. It was just him and Sarah. But God gave this promise to them about how your children are going to go to a place and be enslaved for 400 years and become a nation and come back. Do you think this promise meant anything to Abraham? I think it did. I think it did. I think Abraham believed in his promise. After all, we know that he was a father of faith. Right? But look at what he did right after this promise was given. Abraham decides to help God out. Because in chapter 16, we see Abraham takes the handmaiden of Sarah, his wife, and bears a child and brings in a whole lot of trouble. So we see at least Abraham had faith. He knew that he believed in a promise, but he also said, God, I'm going to help you accomplish it. Because Sarah's old, and then I'm old, I better get on this. So let's take the maid who is still able to bear children, and let God, I'm going to help you along. Right? You know, the whole earth, God promised to Abraham. God promised him the whole earth would be blessed through him. Right? And so if we look at this, God's promise to Abraham was not just about having an heir, was not just about having a child, but it's that through you, something great is going to happen. Right? God's promises to us, we need to remember this morning, God's promises to us, it's not just about you. It is not just about your needs. Right? When God gives you a promise and when he gives you a command, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. He is looking far, far beyond your day to day, your week, your month, perhaps, yes, even beyond your lifetime. When he calls you to do something today, it is not just about making you happy and comfortable today. He's got something lined up way down the line that you may never see with your own eyes. And this was a promise I was given to Abraham. Through you, all the earth shall be blessed. Through me, I have no child. Through you and your descendants, all the earth will be blessed, right? So, through you, each and every one of you sitting here this morning, right? I'm looking at you, those of you that are looking at me. Through each and every single one of you, someone could and should be blessed. Right? Last week we were just talking about making a blessing. Through you, someone along the line, whether now or later after you're gone, someone should be blessed. You know, it could be someone that's as significant to you as your spouse or future spouse or your children. Or it could be someone you just run into, you know, just this week I was at the clinic, went to get some paperwork at the hospital. And as I was going to the elevator, I was leaving, I saw this little lady who, she was on a walker and she was lost. She couldn't find the podiatry department because the signs in the clinic are not well done. You know what? God put me in that right place at the right time. Like, so I said, come on, let's go. I took her to the elevator and I forgot to slow down. So I walked really fast and I looked back and she's like 30 feet behind. But I was able to help her get to where she needed, and she was really thankful. It was not a big thing, right? But in some way, somehow, God wants you to do something to be a blessing, right? And it could be, like I said, it could be someone near and dear to you. It could be someone that you'll never see again. Or it could be someone that comes in their lifetime. You know, Pastor Ernie just 2 weeks ago was sharing with us about discipleship. On one hand, we need to be disciples. But have you ever thought about this? You need to learn to be disciples. And yes, that alone is a great weight to bury, to carry, right? You're thinking, I need to learn to learn. I need to learn to follow. But have you ever thought about this? This is going to put out more weight on your shoulders. Someday, you, and I'm making eye contact with each and every one of you, someday, you will disciple somebody. The kind of Christian that someone is could and should depend on you. Think about that. Right? Not only should you be discipled, but you, one day, if you follow what God is saying, you should become also a discipler. Right? So God's promises, his commands, his will, it's not just about you, it is about what he wants to accomplish through you. You know, now, having said all this, does this mean that God doesn't care about you? Absolutely not, right? Let's continue in the song. Where are we? That was a lot of time we spent on the first line of second verse. Okay, second verse, next line. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Through all of this, through all your life, ups and downs in life, through the times when God sends you into the uncertainty and into the unknown, He promises that there is grace for every trial if you would choose to receive it. You could depend on yourself. You could be Abraham and say, hey, my wife's maiden, let's have a child. No, don't do that. But you could take matters into your own hands and fall out of the circle of blessing. Or you could say, God, you promised me in every trial I face, there will be grace enough. And come and receive it. And He feeds me with the living bread. What is the living bread? It is Jesus Himself. Right? When you face trials and difficulties, when you run into problems you can solve, we as pastors, your brothers and sisters in the church, we try to help, and we should. We should. But the one thing I always try to do, and I will admit sometimes I forget, but the one thing I always try to do at the end of the day is help the person turn their eyes to Jesus. Their eyes should not be looking at me. Even if I help them a great deal, my goal is always turn their eyes to Jesus. Because what happens if that person starts to rely on me and starts to say, oh, Jason is so good, he's so helpful, and I'm not, you know, self whatever promoting him, but if I help a person a lot and all they do is look at me, their faith starts to be put in me, and I am human, I will fail, I will let people down. But even if I don't, you know what's dangerous? If you start to put all your trust in a person, that's how a cult starts. You start to worship the person, the pastor, the leader, instead of Jesus Christ Himself. So it's very important for us, whenever we help someone, when we serve someone, turn them to the living bread. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He is your hope. He is your only hope. He is your only way. And He is really the only reason I am here helping you today. Yes, I try to be nice. But really, had it not been for the love of Jesus, I would not be who I am today. So always, always turn their eyes to the living bread, because that's the only way you can be fed. Okay, next line. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be. Your steps will falter. Like I said, there will be difficulties. You will feel weak and defeated. You will stumble and make mistakes, and your soul will thirst. This is a guarantee. You're probably thinking, boy, you know, Jason, this is a downer of a sermon. Right? We're sitting here this morning, and you're telling us that I'm going to fail. You know what? It would be silly of me to sugarcoat things and say things like it's not. Your life is going to be great. You'll never face any problems. On what am I making that promise and guarantee? Nothing. And then you're going to go out and face the problem, and you're going to come back and say, Jason, you said in the sermon I wouldn't have any problems. So, you know, I can't back that up, because it isn't true. Your steps will falter. All of us have had moments of weakness. All of us have had struggles. But we don't stop there. Right? If the song ended there, first of all, the melody is not complete. It's kind of odd. But there is a promise gushing from the rock before me. Who's the rock? Not the movie star, come on. Who's the rock? Jesus Christ. Gushing from Jesus, a spring of joy I see. Right? My steps may falter, I may have weakness, but in Jesus there is joy flowing out of Him that I can receive. You know, in Jesus you'll find a joy. Instead of looking at your challenges, look at Jesus. Now, I'm not saying just pretend that there's no problems. But as you look to Jesus, He becomes the solution to your problems. He becomes the one who brings you through your problems. You know, when I say this, I realize when you tell someone when there is a problem, oh, just look to Jesus. Just look to Jesus. I understand that it can sound trite, like a very lightly spoken slogan, right? You got in a car accident? Oh, look to Jesus. Somebody in your family died? Oh, look to Jesus. But you know what? You know how you can say that without having it sound light and rehearsed? Is if you experience it yourself. Right? If in a moment of darkness in your life, Jesus became light to you. If in the moment of weakness you find your strength in Jesus, if at the moment of defeat Jesus becomes your victory. Then this becomes real. And then when you tell someone, look to Jesus, you're not just saying a practice slogan, but it is something that is real to you, and you say it from the depth of your soul, and you can tell them, this is what happened, and that's why it's so important to know your testimony. Know your story, right? Another one of my favorite songs. This is my story, this is my song. I don't know how other words, right? No, you need to know the words of your song. Your song, not just... Yes, Jesus is Savior all the day long. And then personalize it. Right? How was Jesus your Savior? You need to know your story. You need to be able to tell your story. Right? So when somebody comes along and they are having a difficulty, look, just a few weeks ago, I was talking with a brother. And he was struggling. He was struggling, really, with an issue. There was something he couldn't get his mind around. And he said, show me, Jason, show me an example where what you said was true. I'll be honest here, for 2 seconds, I was like, Jesus, help. But in those 2 seconds, Jesus said, tell them about yourself. And I almost cried because I remember my story. And I remembered how people were good to me and how the Lord helped me. And so I shared my story. And in that moment, the brother's mind was unlocked. I don't know if completely, but at least he was able to get over that hurdle that night. Because I knew my story. I knew my song. And so now we come to the last verse. Okay. The last verse. I'm not going to look at much of it except for the last lines. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. You know what? This song that we sing, never once did it promise that everything goes well. Not once. But, this can be your song. This is your song that Jesus led me all the way, and that in Him I found a spring of joy, and that He does all things well. And it's especially when things don't go well that you have a song to sing, right? God takes ugly things and He makes them beautiful. Porch Light is here today because some ugly things happened. Alice and I were going through some of the toughest experiences in our life. But we turned to Jesus and we said, Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. And He led us all the way. And now today, we are here because we said, Jesus, things aren't going so well, but we trust You. What do we do next? And He spoke, and we listened, and now here we are. Just, you know, God told us, go. And I said, where? And He says, go. Just like with Abraham, just like with Moses. You'll know when you get there. Have I gotten there yet? Oh, I hope so. This is the beginning of where we're going. But go. Just go, and things will go well. Not smoothly, but things will go according to God's plan. And this is your song. Why do we sing through endless ages? Right? Why through endless ages? Because you, once you know your song, you pass it on. Right? Your song, your story, is not just for you to enjoy yourself. You need to pass it on. You need to let people know how God has led you all the way. The next person, hopefully, remembers your song. And I don't mean a literal song, but they know your song, they know your story, and they pass it on. And then, guess what? Then they add their own verse. And then they pass it on to the next person, and they add their own verse. And this becomes the song that is sung through the ages. Look, we've been singing the song since time began. And every person that comes along adds their own unique verse to it, if they choose to be a part of the story. Right, you add your experiences of how the Lord has loved you and led you and saved you, and not in that order, but you add your story and then you pass it on. And each of us is adding our unique verse. And look, your song may not be as extreme as the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Maybe you're not going to see your child killed while you are being forced to renounce Jesus. I hope not. I certainly hope that doesn't happen to any of us. You don't have to have a grand song like that for it to be passed on. Whatever song the Lord has put in your heart to sing of your life, you just sing it and let it be an inspiration to the few around you. And as they are inspired and as they add to the tapestry of the song, and they pass it on, and your circle of influence grows. Abraham, one man. One man. And look at what we have today. The blessing that we have from Jesus. One man, through one man's obedience, the whole earth is blessed. You today, starting from you, you can be one man or woman. But from you, one day you'll see the trajectory. When you're in heaven, you'll see the trajectory of what you have done, the actions you've done along the way, and the seeds that you have planted, and the lives that you have changed. And it's like looking out at an upside down tree, right? The roots come here, but you turn it upside down, the roots you, and it spreads, and it spreads, and it spreads. Think about that. Think about what you could do in the kingdom of God. Not just for today, but in the ages to come. And that's what we say. This is a song we sing through endless ages. One, because His love is unchanging, but two, because you keep adding to it and your next generation adds to it. And so, this morning, take heart. Take heart. Because if you choose to follow Him, and I hope we all have chosen to follow Him, not just believing in Him, but following Him. If you have chosen to follow Him, we know that we have a good shepherd who didn't just save you, but He promised He will lead you all the way. Not just in the beginning, not just part way, not just once in a while when He feels like it. He has promised He will lead you all the way, and in life's every trial, there is hope to be found. Whatever hardship that you may be facing now, whatever it is that you feel is crushing you, making it so that you feel like you can't breathe, take heart and know that God can and wants to make something beautiful out of that. Again, look at Abraham. He had to leave everything he knew. Look at every person's story that we looked at today. And look at your own life. And as you go home, think and pray, Lord, how can my life be added to this song of endless ages? Let's bow our heads and pray. Jesus, I pray, Lord. I thank you, first of all, that you have led us. Lord, that each and every one of us is here today, Lord, because of how you have led. And I pray for each of us, for our steps ahead, not just for this afternoon, not just for this week, but Lord, our life ahead of us. Jesus, I pray that you would lead us all the way, Lord. And help us to put our trust in you. Help us to find our strength in you. Help us, Lord, to have our own song to sing of how you have blessed us and how you have saved us, how everything that you have been to us, Lord. Teach us our song that we may sing it to those around us, that these songs may join with the song of all the saints and echo through the ages. I thank you for all of this, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.